The following is an unrehearsed interview with Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley. Participating in today's public affairs program is Breanne Fannin-Steele at Des Moines Register in Des Moines. Breanne, you can go ahead with your questions for Senator Grassley.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my questions. We haven't talked since Donald Trump was indicted for a third time, this time over his actions related to January 6th. Are you at all concerned by the allegations that he that are contained in that indictment that he attempted to subvert the lawful outcome of the 2020 presidential election?
Well, I think that the best thing for anybody that wants to abide by our Constitution is to let the judicial system play out and not to make any particular comments one way or the other on the subject, because it's probably political punditry, and I'm not much of a pundit.
This was something that you spoke out pretty strongly against immediately after January 6th, and you even told me, I remember at a town hall, that you saw very little opportunity for Trump to lead the Republican Party.
I just stand by my statement that I made at that time, and I probably shouldn't try to remember exactly what I said at that time, but we remember January 6th is nothing to be proud of.
Mm-hmm. Well, changing course, you've introduced bipartisan legislation aimed at improving the organ transplant system in the U.S. What's wrong with that system today, and what would your legislation do about it?
Yeah. Well, hopefully very much transform the system that's been in place for 40 years, that the present system, not my figures, but somebody else's figures, say probably 200,000 people during that period of time died because of the way in which the transplant organization was not effectively functioning. So then that's kind of a bottom line in the purpose of the legislation. I first started raising questions about all this way back in 2005. And then it really picked up steam about 2018 or 19 when Senator Wyden and Young and, Cardin, I think, joined in the effort. And we were the main pushers of the legislation that got through. But we came to the conclusion that the monopolistic practices of the existing network and the cozy relationships that they had between some of the organizations that were accumulating the organs and not getting them effectively distributed just had to end. And so our legislation sets up so that we're going to have more responsibility on the Health and Human Services to monitor the situation and make sure it's more effectively. And there's competition so that we get the best people delivering the organs so that more people take advantage. When you have organs going to waste because of the inefficiency of an organization that's rooted in its own thing. And then the study showed that people of color and people in rural areas were most affected by the fact that it was ineffective distribution of the organs.
And, you know, why has that taken so long to come to fruition, and are you confident that legislation will move forward?
Well, you have to wait a little while for the legislation to be activated and the regulations written, and to see how HHS is enforcing it. But I have confidence that it can't be worse than the present situation is today, and we'll only know in a couple years if it's better. But we've had so much. Remember, this bill passed the Senate and the House with Well, the Senate unanimously, and the House, at least with a two-thirds vote, because it passed on a process called suspension, which means you only debate it for 30 minutes, and if it gets a two-thirds vote, it passes without a lot of other red tape that the House representatives require to pass most legislation. So that's one factor. Then we've had a hearing of various interest groups just before the bill passed, maybe 2 weeks before that. We had interest groups that came in to testify about the need of the legislation. So yes, I hope that it does what we intend for it to do, have a better distribution of the organs, but also it seems to me that it just takes time to respond to that. Now, you know, when I raise an issue in 2005, I'm not sure over the course of the next 10 or 15 years that I didn't think things would get better just because you bring it up with the various administrations. But after all that time, and then the other thing is, it seemed to me we were fighting the power of this organization with their lobbying efforts to keep any changes from happening. And, you know, sometimes that's difficult to overcome. But we finally did overcome it.
Mm-hmm. Governor Kim Reynolds announced last week that she's sending Iowa National Guard members to the southern border using COVID-19 relief money from the American Rescue Plan Act. Do you support that decision, and is that an appropriate use of those federal dollars?
Well, first of all, my support of it isn't based upon my trying to comment approval or disapproval of Governor Reynolds' actions. But I do know this, that it isn't just Texas, New Mexico, Arizona, and California that are border states. This problem at the president not enforcing our laws saying you can't come to this country without our permission, and the president isn't enforcing that law, it isn't just a problem for those states. Every one of the 50 states is a border problem, is a border state in a sense, because they're all affected by the president not enforcing the law. And you're beginning to hear it now from the mayor of New York City as one example. So I would, whether it's Governor Reynolds or the governor of any other state, sending troops to the border to lessen the impact of illegal immigration on their particular state, I think we have to accept their judgment and applaud them for it. So, of course, I commend Governor Reynolds for doing what President Biden won't do. She's trying to secure our borders and Iowans want that accomplished. That's what I'm hearing at my 99 county meetings.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not hearing it about Governor Reynolds because that action was just taken. But I am hearing complaints about the law not being enforced.
Is that an appropriate use of that COVID relief money, though, that Congress appropriated to the states?
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I didn't intend to not skip over that for you. It seems to me she can spend the money how she wants to within the constraints of the law, and I'm sure that she is doing that.
Thank you. And, of course, the Iowa State Fair starts this week. You're a regular presence there. What advice do you have for all the presidential candidates who are going to be attending this year?
Well, don't do what a former candidate for president did. I think this must have been 2008, I think. There was a Senator Thompson from Tennessee, now deceased. He came to the State Fair And my gosh, did he have a massive number of cameras in front of him and behind him and all over. And he walked around the fairgrounds, didn't bother to stop to talk to any single Iowan. And I know that because he asked me to be with him. And so I'm saying, in answer to your question, I'm saying mingle with the Iowans. Don't just walk around like you're the most important person in the world and people can't even come up to you because you got so many television cameras around you. That's advice I learned from a Senator Thompson. Mm-hmm. So I'm giving it to you to give to the candidates this year.
Yeah. The Senate returns to Washington in September, I believe. What's the top priority for you and for the chamber when you return?
Tuesday after Labor Day. So I interrupted your question. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, thank you. What's the top priority for you and for the chamber when you return?
Okay. Well, something that hasn't been done for too long of a time. It seems to me that we have both Republicans and Democrats of both houses on the Appropriations Committee. They're committed to doing what we call regular order on appropriation bills. So instead of having one big, what we call a magna appropriation bill, omnibus appropriation bill just before Christmas, we're going to be debating separate appropriation bills in each chamber. So now that won't be done. I don't see how it's possible to get that done by the end of the fiscal year. But if we can get a few done by September 30th and then have a continuing resolution to do the others singly instead of omnibus, we would be doing things the way they ought to be done, debating and amending appropriation bills. And that'd be number one. Number two would be the farm bill. Number three would be the Federal Aviation Administration, what we call the FAA reauthorization bill, because air travel is so important to the economy of Iowa and to people's leisure getting from point A to point B. And then the last one would be the reauthorization of the flood insurance program. Now, that's only four of about 10 things that Schumer said he wants to get done between now and the end of the fiscal, before Christmas, not the end of the fiscal year, before Christmas. And I hope we get all 10 of them done. Okay. Thank you very much for participating, Breon. Goodbye.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Breon, for participating in today's public affairs program. This has been Senator Chuck Grassley reporting to the people of Iowa.